Hi, everyone, and welcome to the State of State Schools podcast. I'm your host, John Stamper, Christian author, former homeschooler, and former public school teacher. Once a week, I'll give a quick recap of the most important headlines in education and pull back the curtain on what's really happening in our kids' schools. If you're a teacher, parent, or homeschool family, this podcast is for you. Thanks for listening, and let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode number 59. Everything in this episode comes from the month of April. I apologize. It's been a few weeks since I've released an episode, but my wife and I sold our place in Chicago. We bought a new place in the suburbs. We packed up within a week, all while managing our two-month-old. So it's been a bit of a whirlwind. And honestly, I would expect that to kind of be the norm for a while moving forward. But in this episode, I have three topics to talk about. And again, since it's been a while, why am I doing this podcast? What's the point? Well, when I was a teacher for Chicago Public Schools in 2020 and 2021, and through my mandatory teacher trainings, I, for the first time, you know, experienced critical race theory, gender ideology, parental secrecy policies being forced on the teachers and on the students. It was the first time I had ever experienced that myself. Whenever I would talk to family and friends about it, they were all shocked. No one had ever heard of this or seen this in their own school. So I realized it was really important to share this information so that people can know what's coming down the pipeline, you know, in their hometown, in their school district. And that's the purpose of this podcast, just to share information so that you don't have to take, you know, 2 hours a day to read through the news. I try to condense it and just bring out the highlights for each week. That way, when you're, you know, driving your kids around or, you know, doing laundry or, you know, working out or whatever you're doing during the day, you can kind of stay up to speed. So that's the point of this podcast, and that's what I hope to accomplish. In this episode, we're talking about three things. First of all, we're talking about AI, then DEI hiring practices, and quote-unquote community schools. Those are the three topics. Story number one is all about AI or artificial intelligence. There are actually two stories. This is kind of a two-parter. There are two stories that parents, teachers, students, and administrators will want to be aware of. Both stories occurred in the month of April, and they demonstrate the level of depravity that exists both within society and within our schools, of course, whether public or private. So these two stories also demonstrate the dangerous potential of AI in education, and particularly concerning children. So the first story is about a 31-year-old man who was a high school athletic director in Maryland. This man received poor work reviews from his school's principal. So this AD, the athletic director, he decided to frame the principal. How did he do that? Well, this AD took voice recordings of his principal and he used artificial intelligence to generate a fake audio clip using the principal's real voice. But the words in the audio clip were not the principal's words. They were words typed up by the athletic director using AI. Investigators say this case is the first of its kind in the nation, and it works just like I explained. You take any audio recording, upload the audio, then type in any text that you want, and AI uses the real voice to say anything you want to say. In this story, the AD made it sound like the principal was making all kinds of racist and inappropriate comments about Black and Jewish students. And even though it was fake, the audio clip circulated on social media. The community, of course, became outraged. The principal was placed on leave, and the principal's whole family was put at risk, all over a fake audio clip that was used as payback or revenge for a poor work review. But couldn't this really happen to anybody? I mean, any of us could be recorded without knowing. And then someone could simply do what this athletic director did, make a fake audio clip of us saying anything. And it really doesn't matter if it turns out to be fake because, like in this story, it'll be too late. The damage will have already been done. You know, your name has been run down, your career has been jeopardized, and your reputation is tainted. But it's one thing when this happens to adults. It's infinitely worse when it happens to children. And that's what the second story, the second AI story, is all about. So the second story comes from, of all places, a Christian school in Florida. A 67-year-old third grade science teacher, a man, was arrested on child pornography charges after he took yearbook photos of his students and used AI to generate pornographic photos and pornographic videos of those students. Now think about that. This was in a Christian school, first of all, and it was in Florida, which is highly regarded as a conservative state, all about educational freedom, etc. So this is evil, it's disgusting, it's horrifying. This horrendous crime, it can still happen there. And this was not in a public school, this was in a private Christian school. Think of that. You see, the problems with public schools, I think, generally speaking, we're all aware of. You know, so maybe you send your kids to a local Christian school and you pay a pretty penny for it. And then you think your kids are safe because it's a Christian school after all, and you can trust the teachers because it's a Christian school, so they must be good Christian teachers. But then you find out one of those teachers uses your children's photos to create pornography. I mean, what else can parents do to protect their children? Well, in my opinion, it's another reason to consider homeschooling. So these two stories about the athletic director and this third grade teacher, they show the increasing power of AI, artificial intelligence, and not just in education, but in society as a whole. The technology is so advanced that any safeguards are playing catch up. And as in these two stories, by the time authorities figured out what was going on, the damage had already been done. So unless you're a recluse and you live in a cave, this could happen to anyone. It could happen to you. It could happen to me. So if you talk to people, if you're posting pictures of you and your children on social media, if you have colleagues, we're all susceptible to evils and dangers of this kind of technology. But really, it's not the technology. It's not AI that's responsible here. It's the people using the technology, the people using AI. AI is just like any other tool. It's only as productive, constructive, or moral as the person using it. A hammer in the right hands can be used to build a house, but a hammer in the wrong hands can be used to kill someone or tear down a house. Story number two, Parents Defending Education issued a public records request and discovered that school systems across the country are hiring teachers and staff based entirely on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. Now, we've all heard plenty about DEI over the last few years. I know I've talked about it a ton on this podcast. So we really shouldn't be surprised that school systems are completely sold out to wokeness, to critical race theory, gender identity, and intersecting identities. You know, it's not about your skills or your qualifications as a teacher anymore. In fact, it hasn't been for a long time. With these DEI standards and DEI policies, it's all about your ideology, your race. Are you an LGBTQIA plus ally? How many buzzwords can you check off on your application? So to give you a better idea of what I'm talking about what this public records request discovered, here are a few examples of DEI policies that school systems are including in their hiring practices. The first one comes from a school district in California. Its school policy says the district shall, quote, achieve an increase in the diversity of workforce in at least 75% of new hires. So forget whether or not this person is a good teacher. What matters most is whether or not they're diverse enough. Another school district in Colorado added a question to their interview process to make sure they're hiring woke activist teachers. The question says, quote, tell about a time when someone at work said something that is either a microaggression or was discriminatory or biased. What did you do to address this? The Connecticut State DOE is offering incentives, financial incentives paid for by the taxpayers, for anyone who can bring in racially, ethnically, and linguistically diverse candidates. Again, nothing about academics, nothing about work history, achievements, qualifications as a teacher. They just want to focus on race and ethnicity. In Kentucky, one school system is so committed to hiring a diverse staff, they even created their own definition of what it means to be diverse. So in this Kentucky public school, diverse means, quote, pertaining to any and all cultures that are not heterosexual, not male-centered, not white, not Western, and not Christian, end quote. So to be clear, this public school wants nothing to do with you if you're straight, white, Christian, or a man. I wonder how all my Kentucky friends and family feel about funding this type of school. Finally, Orange County Schools in North Carolina promises that by 2026, 100% of its LGBTQ plus staff and non-white staff members will report feeling supported, welcomed, and included. So the straight white population, they don't have to feel supported, welcomed, and included. Just the LGBTQ non-white staff. So that's a promise in this North Carolina school district. They didn't promise that 100% of students will be able to read or do math at grade level, but they promised that 100% of the homosexual teachers and transgender teachers will feel good about themselves. That's their promise. Now, I'll always hear people saying, oh, you know, parents are waking up. They're not putting up with this DEI, CRT, transgender stuff anymore. And yeah, on one hand, I do agree. More people are aware of what's going on in public schools. But on the other hand, tons of school districts, like the ones I just talked about, are doubling down on their DEI, CRT, transgender policies. Do any of these schools I just mentioned sound like they're backing down, hiding, or removing their woke policies? No, they're proud of them. They're promoting them. They're sold out to it. And these policies define these schools. When it comes to DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, it only looks at your skin color. It looks at your sex, your political leanings, or whether or not you're gay. DEI does not care about your accomplishments, your qualifications, or your character, your virtues, your values. It rewards the victim mentality and it penalizes hard work. It creates division, and that's a hallmark of Marxism. Now, compare that with the Bible, which says in Galatians 3 and 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, that settles the issue of race. There's neither slave nor free, that settles the issue of class. And there's neither male nor female, that settles the issue of sex. For you are all one in Christ Jesus, end quote. Now that's real unity, being in Christ Jesus. The Bible says if we're in Christ, then we are one. So if we're not in Christ, then we're not all one. This is a clear contrast between the world's way and God's way. But it's one thing to know about something. It's another thing entirely to stand up and actually do something. So parents, teachers, administrators, what will you do when you're confronted with these policies, the ones that I just read to you? Will you be silent and comply, even though these DEI policies are discriminatory, divisive, unfair, or harmful? Or will you speak up and act? What will you say? What will you do? Are you prepared to suffer the consequences? These are things that we should all think about. Story number three, have you heard of community schools, quote unquote community schools? Well, there are around 10,000 community schools in the US right now. That comes out to about a couple hundred per state. So what exactly is a community school and where did they come from? The NEA, the National Education Association, the nation's largest union, fully supports community schools, and that right there should be a red flag. And here's what the NEA's website has to say about these community schools. It says, quote, community schools are public schools that provide services and support that fit each neighborhood's needs. Well, that sounds nice, but these schools definitely are not about teaching children reading, writing, and arithmetic. They're all about community needs. They just said so, which means your tax dollars will be funding anything and everything the federal government and the left-wing teachers unions want to support. The NEA goes on to say that these community schools are, quote, created and run by the people who know our children best. The people who know our children best, end quote. So people who know our children best, are they talking about the parents? Are parents the teachers? Are parents the administrators? No, of course not. The people who know, quote unquote, our children best, as they say, are the public school teachers, the school counselors, the therapists, not the parents, duh. The NEA says these schools, quote, mobilize students, mobilize staff, mobilize families and community members to reimagine education and co-construct a shared vision for their school and community, recognizing that education is a shared responsibility, end quote. So every bit of this is contrary to what the Bible says about education. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that education should be outsourced to Caesar. In fact, it says that parents are to train up a child in the way they should go. That parents are to teach their children diligently of God's commandments when they wake up, when they go to bed, when they're in the house, and when they're outside the house. This is the biblical model. And community schools are simply communes. They're utopian, socialist, communist experiments that fail 100% of the time. These schools brag about providing health care, dental care, vision, mental health services. And FYI, I discussed this in episode 57 when I talked about school-based health centers. And President Biden has even said repeatedly that children need to be in the public school system before kindergarten, even as young as 3 and 4 years old. The former education secretary said these community schools should be open to children 24/7. The current education secretary, Miguel Cardona, said that parents are not the primary stakeholder in their child's education. So to summarize what these community schools are all about, parents are not the primary stakeholders, first of all. They're to give their kids to the government at 3 years old, and they're to give them up to the government 24/7. So if your children are in the public schools, these are the people who are ultimately controlling your children. So one example of a community school is the Richards Academy in Chicago, which over a 4-year span only graduated about 2/3 of its students, and not a single one of its students were proficient in reading or math. Yet, the Chicago Teachers Union tried to convince parents that this school was not a massive failure, but it's actually a beacon of success, and we need to replicate it. Unfortunately, many parents eat it up because they like the virtue signaling. It makes them feel good. And these community schools are strikingly similar to Robert Owen's socialist utopian infant schools, which I talked about in the previous episode. Robert Owen created infant schools, which discarded academics and instead focused on play. They focused on serving the purposes of the group, really serving the purposes of Robert Owen, who's known as the father of British socialism, by the way. Psalms 127 and 3 says, "Children are an inheritance from the Lord. They are a reward from Him." God gave children to parents as a reward. He didn't give them to the community. He didn't give them to Caesar. Parents are the ones responsible for their education, for their physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. If you want to learn more about community schools, you can read what Alex Newman wrote on freedomproject.com. Freedomproject.com. Alex Newman wrote an article about this. It's wonderful. Check it out. That's all I have for you in this episode. That's the state of state schools. Take care.